The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 102, McMonagle here with you. And let's go off of what we just heard on that update a little bit with Mark on baseball. I'm going to get to your calls real quick here on the baseball just for a second. I don't doubt for a second the Toronto Blue Jays are a legitimate contender for Juan Soto. I think that was par for the course after what we saw last year. They were legitimately in on Shohei Ohtani. Whether he was in on them at all, I don't know. Excuse me? He clearly wasn't on the plane to Toronto that everybody was watching, but the reporting was they offered him the same contract as the Dodgers. They were willing to go $700 million with those, with the deferred money. And I think they're desperate to make some sort of a big splash. They came out earlier in the week and talked about not moving Vladimir Guerrero and not moving Bichette and trying to run this thing back. I think they're a bunch of frauds. I've never trusted the Blue Jays. I think that the team is soft. I've been saying this for a while. I think these young, former superstars, sons, have not done the job here. This young, talented team that was supposed to be better than the Yankees at every turn and completely take over this division has completely failed on its face. But I do think they have money, and I do think they're looking for a splash. I don't know if Juan will actually consider going to Canada and going to the Blue Jays. Again, I'm not one of these people who just believe it's about every last cent. I don't. I think it's going to be a little bit about where he'd like to play, and I'd be surprised if we're really looking at anyone outside the New York Yankees and the New York Mets, but I have no doubt that the Blue Jays are a legitimate threat who will be willing to pay Juan Soto close to $700 million. I do think they are. And we'll find, I don't believe some of the other ones, I don't think Tampa Bay's in the mix. I don't think there are certain, there are about eight teams that are in it. I don't think there are eight teams in it. I do think the Dodgers probably could find a way to give him money, believe it or not. And I do think the Blue Jays are legitimate threats. But it's going to be the Yankees or the Mets. I feel pretty strongly about that. And then just to get to Aaron Boone real quick. Here's one thing I never viewed. Like the term lame duck coach for me has always meant more in football than it has in any other sport. I don't look at Aaron Boone as a lame duck where the team doesn't have faith in him or that it signifies, like, he had an option, they picked it up. Why have options if you can't pick it up without giving a contract? Like, I think football's a little bit different because you have to establish culture in a way you, like, we all know the Yankee way, right? We've been getting on Boone, a lot of you guys have, the Yankee way and the lack of fundamentals and this and that, but this is an organization that does its things that way. He makes on-field decisions and stuff, but baseball isn't like that. You don't have to bring in another head coach and suddenly, well, he plays the 3-4 as opposed to the 4-3, and his offense is the West Coast offense. And like there is legitimate like team fundamental building about what a head coach instills in the organization. That's why for football you don't like lame duck head coaches, because yeah, it doesn't show a belief in the way of his, like, baseball's baseball. You hit the ball, you catch the ball, you pitch the ball, you run the ball, you throw the ball. Now, there's variations to that. I understand that. And pitching inside the organization, Matt Blake goes about building a pitching department and through the organization different than other pitching coaches and other teams. I get that. But for the most part, the manager manages the team and tries to get them in the right frame of mind, put them in the best position to succeed. But he's not instilling the Aaron Boone plan to baseball. I know some of you will make a laugh that he is, and that's why they've lost, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I'm trying to say? He doesn't coach it a certain way. He doesn't see football a certain way. He doesn't have a certain scheme or a certain way it's played. They play baseball. I don't think it's a big deal he's a lame duck at all. I don't think it impedes his ability to do his job. I don't think it's some sort of, well, they didn't really have faith of him. I think they had an option. Pick it up. Hey, one more year. Get to the World Series. Prove it. I like the idea that he's under the 1 year. Go out there and do it again and get back to the World Series. Win another division. Go have a successful season. Like, I think that's ultimately good, and I don't think lame duck applies to baseball. I really don't. I never have. Lame duck is a football coaching term for me. But I understand why people will make a big deal out of it. I personally do not. I think if Aaron Boone has a successful season, they're going to continue to keep him because I think they like him. I think they believe he does a good job, and I think the players love him. But here's the one thing I'll say. If the players love him, now's the time to clean up some of the nonsense because I don't believe Aaron Boone coaches to be poor fundamentally. I don't think Aaron Boone coaches to be a bad base running team. I don't think Aaron Boone coaches them to be bad defensively. That's on the players. Now, does he not hold them accountable enough? We could have that discussion. I know you want to. But it's on them to hold themselves accountable. And their lack of effort or perceived lack of effort or defense or whatever else, base running, is what's going to get this guy fired if he does get fired. So if these players love him as much as they show you that they do, it's time to snap out of this malaise and come into this season with a bit of a fire. And I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see what happens. And he will be part of the contingent that goes speaks to Juan Soto in California, and we'll find out, and we'll continue to do that. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk to someone and go through not only Juan Soto, but some of the option B and what that money would look like and where Hal would be willing to spend up to $300 million, because I think that's about the limit for Hal. It's the final threshold, I believe, is $304 million. You go up by, I think it's 244, and you go up by $20 million, and that final threshold is $304 million. I don't think there's any way around going beyond the first two thresholds, but I don't think he wants to go above 304, even with Juan Soto. So if Juan's, I think right now that puts them at spending roughly $50 million this year. I mean, excuse me, $70 million this year to $80 million. So if Juan Soto's going to take up 45 to 50, they're going to have $30 million to play with. And if he doesn't sign, they have $80 million to play with. But my fear is he knows if he signs Juan Soto, he has to go above threshold number two. If he doesn't sign Juan Soto, does he feel like he has to? Are there players out there who aren't spending that much money when he could save underneath the second threshold? Like, that's what scares me. Everyone thinks, oh, we'll put all that money around. I know Hal will do it for the big star. Will Hal do it for the secondary pieces? That's the question to me. 888-808-1019. It's a little bit of baseball talk. Plus the MVP race. I mean, I don't know if there's much of a race, but Juan Soto did creep into number three in the American League. He is and I think that's the order. Right? I think we all understand what the order is in both of these leagues. Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to finish second in the MVP. And Juan Soto will finish third in the MVP. And then in the National League, Shohei Ohtani will win the MVP. Francisco Lindor will finish second in the MVP. And Ketel Marte will finish third in the MVP. The more interesting race is going to be Rookie of the Year in the American League, at least, because we have two guys in it, as both Luis Gil and Austin Wells, along with Kowser in Baltimore, who is probably the favorite, are up for Rookie of the Year. We'll see if the Yankees can get a victory there. But that's the baseball right now. I have no problem with Aaron Boone. And quite honestly, listening to him, I know many people don't like him, and maybe that's why I like him so much. I don't think he's the greatest manager. I don't. I think he's a solid manager. I don't think he's a game-changing manager. I don't think the Yankees, if they fire Boone and bring in someone else, I don't think they're four games better or worse. I really don't. I really don't. But I like Aaron Boone, the person. I think he does a good job for the most part. Not great, but good. And I don't know what it is. I like him. People can't stand to look at his face. I like Aaron Boone. So I'm glad he's back, and I'm hopeful that he can have another good year with this team and get back to the World Series. 888 888- 808-1019. But we're talking mainly football because they're the hot topic. They're the ones pissing us off right now. And what we saw on Sunday was from 9:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night was just ugly football in the city and the official death of two seasons. And I guess for the Giants, the question is it the death of the coach as well? And I guess, I mean, for the Jets, it's such a stickier situation. I don't even know where to go. I don't even know what to say about the Jets' future. It depends on what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. I don't think you can trade him. I heard the afternoon show a little bit talking about where's some spots. He could see them going, trading him to Miami if they think, you know, Tua can't stay healthy, but they like the rest of that team. Like, I don't see anybody taking on Aaron Rodgers after this year. So if he wants to play, I think you're stuck with him and you run it back. And I would kind of understand that and be okay with it. And I think you could even sell me and maybe some Jet fans on the idea that a year removed from his injury, maybe he'll even be a little bit better. I don't think you could sell anyone that he'll return to his Hall of Fame MVP caliber quarterback. But could he be better than this a year removed from the injury? And he'll tell you all the stuff that a lot of those guys tell you a year after the injury, that it wasn't just an offseason of rehabbing. That now he was healthy and it was a full offseason of getting ready for football, and that's going to make him stronger and better. The cliches you hear from guys who are a year removed from injury. I could see that. I could see that. The problem is his presence in no way uplifted the team. It hasn't made anybody better. He hasn't made a single person better. And I thought he would. I thought that's something you could bank on. I mean, all of the Pro Bowl players have gotten worse. None of the lesser players have gotten better. The defense hasn't shown up. Like, it's mind-boggling to me how bad it's gotten with the Jets. 888-808-1019. Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's good, Chris? How are you doing, C-Mac?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm well. One of the first things, I'm a big fan. I love how you keep it real and aren't afraid to say an unpopular opinion and live and die by it. And when you're wrong, you'll accordingly come to it.
Mm-hmm.
But about the Giants, like, I bit the apple. The Airwaves, all I was hearing, I put money on them, I lost, but I'm not concerned. I made $600 this month, only bet $100. I usually don't bet more than $100 or $200 every month gambling. That being said, I agree with you. The Giants should definitely allow Daboll to draft a quarterback. I've been saying this for a while because he groomed Josh Allen and all this other stuff, won a playoff game with measly talent, coach of the year, week schedule. All the reasons for keeping him and for firing him are valid.
Yep.
But at the same time, we've been in cap hell since Gettleman, and even more than the cap hell since Gettleman. What's worse is that we haven't had a solid foundation with our front office or head coach probably for the past 10 years since we had Eli and Tom Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've always, and the tanking, I've been with the tanking since probably last year.
Right.
Because, you know, and you combine what happened in Hard Knocks with Daniel Jones, every waking moment has to be told he's not good enough by everybody in the organization and has to see it on TV and people hear about it. So guess what happens? They can't even stand it. He can't even stand it. So he's a broken quarterback. So we are asking to lose games. And if you ask me, I think that's basically what's been agreed upon by everybody in the organization. Not saying this is a conspiracy theory as much as part of the process, not to quote the Philadelphia 76ers, because we saw how that ended.
I don't think they thought they were going to be this bad this year. I certainly don't think they thought they were going to be this bad last year. I mean, in their heart of hearts, inside the organization, did they think year one was a bit of a mirage? I bet you they did. I bet you if they were honest with themselves at the end of the year, they were like, wow, how did we pull this crap off? Like, they did not think that team was going to be good enough to go win a road playoff game going into the season. They tried to temper enthusiasm. They talked about the salary cap hell and all of that. And then they had the great year. I think the next year they probably expected to be a little bit worse. I think if you would have told them they'll miss the playoffs that year, I think maybe they would have expected that. I don't think they would have expected to have been as bad. Now they lost the quarterback in the middle of the season due to injury. So maybe you could, this year I thought they would improve. They went out and got Burns to help with this defense. Dexter Lawrence is emerging, continues to emerge as a superstar in this league. You know, they drafted young defensive backs. And then, you know, they revamped the offensive line. They brought in guys they really liked in Runyon and Illuminor and obviously Andrew Thomas. And they were hoping Evan Neal could be healthy and play better. They got Malik Nabers to make plays. Wandale Robinson showed you something last year. They, you know, I think they felt like they were going to win some football games. Again, did I think? Do you, in their heart of hearts, would they have thought maybe they were a playoff team? I don't know. Maybe not that far. They did not think they were 2-8. This is not some sort of, you know, understanding inside the organization. We're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. No, 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 no. They did not think that. They were hoping to be a 500 football team. They were hoping to be a team that could compete for the playoffs. They did not think the season would be over already. Without question, there is no doubt in my mind. Now, I agree. Daniel Jones' inability to play the position has hurt them. And I look at the game this week in particular. I saw plays that should have been effective. I saw play calls from this coach that should have worked. Now, I don't know if the flea flicker beats everybody, but it beat the Carolina Panthers, and the quarterback can't make the throw. Mitchell and Malone, New York. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, how you doing? It's Mike from Monroe.
Thank you for making the call, Mitch. What do you got?
Hey, just want to make a quick point about Daniel Jones.
I'm sorry, it's Michael. I don't know why I read it Mitchell. It's written Michael. I'm just reading it Mitchell. I apologize. What's up, Mike?
No problem. I just want to make a quick point about Daniel Jones. Yeah. I believe that he knows that his time in New York has ended. And I understand that Brian Dable trying to win and trying to keep him in there, but the brain trust needs to sit him down. These guys over here running over linebackers and never sliding.
I give him credit. He's a tough son of a gun, but you're 100% right. It scares me. He cannot get. He doesn't know how to slide. He takes on contact, whether it's for the end zone against Washington, where he takes on a defensive end and then gets into the end zone, or if it's this game last week or in Germany where he's fighting for the first down. Like, he is a tough son of a gun, but that's going to get him hurt.
Exactly. And that's $23 million for the cap that we're going to have to eat up for next year.
Yeah.
I'd rather just sit him down, not have to deal with that. Unfortunately, I feel that he's a smart guy, so he's just trying to make sure that he gets paid as much as he can before he's out the door. But he cannot be taking these hits, and Dable and them watching him take these hits is killing me. Everybody's celebrating when Washington, when he scored that touchdown. I'm celebrating because his shoulder was still intact.
I know. You're not kidding, man. That's how, I mean, and again, it's not even just benching him. He has to be, and again, I feel bad because he doesn't deserve this necessarily, but he's got to be in street clothes. Like, it's the end of Daniel Jones playing for the New York Giants. That's it. You pull the plug, you pull him in and go, look, you know, you got paid a lot of money, and part of it is this now. We've been unsuccessful. It's not all your fault. I get it, but you can't even practice, man. Like, that's it. You pull the plug on him, he's an assistant offensive coordinator. He's there with a clipboard and a headset. He's that for practice as well. Daniel Jones is out of pads because he can get hurt in practice. That would all count. It's not like it's only if it happens during the game. It could happen at practice. It could happen at the facility. Like, he cannot get hurt. And if you think, oh, well, you can't play and coach like that, you can on a dead season. You bet your ass you can. I'm not saying, you know, be afraid. If Daniel Jones was winning, if they were winning, I wouldn't be afraid of him getting hurt. If they were 5-5 instead of 2-8, I wouldn't be worried about it. They're not. They're 2-8. It's over. He can't play. He can't play. He can't practice. He can't suit up. And that sucks, but it is what it is. Wilson in Roxbury. What's up, Wilson?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good,
hey,
brother.
Listen,
how are you?
Real quick, something on Dable and Shoshane. Hey, you know what Brian Dable's record is at the start is 7-1? 8-24.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Daniel Jones' fault. The fact that he lost all his staff last year because there were rumors that this guy is horrendous to work with. That's Daniel Jones' fault. Joe Shane has four number one picks. Mm-hmm. Four. Three of them, complete bust. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau is a third-round pick at best. DeAndre Banks. All right. And Evan
I think
Neal.
That's a bit but much. Evan Neal's an absolute bust, yeah.
All right. But Daniel Jones' fault. I mean, okay. So
I get your point.
The defense gets gashed for 200 yards, makes Carolina look like the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. It's Daniel Jones' fault. I mean, man, you know what, man? Listen, if John Mara has any competent left in him, which is highly doubtful, he'll call Bill Belichick today and get rid of this bum that we have as a head coach and this horrendous Joe Shane. Because now everybody blames Dave Gettleman, too. Dave Gettleman is probably laughing somewhere. Dave Gettleman is laughing somewhere about this team that everything's getting blamed on Dave Gettleman and Daniel Jones. I mean, that's a great job to have, man.
Well, I hear what you're saying. So you would call Bill Belichick and keep Daniel Jones?
Because Daniel Jones, I'm going to tell you something. Did you see, I was watching the coin toss.
That was pretty much the end of where Daniel Jones was useful.
No, but listen.
After the coin toss.
This guy is 6'5", 235, and Bryce Young looked like a high school player next to him.
Yeah,
but you know,
and Bryce Young outplayed him.
He's going to go somewhere else with a decent coach, and he's going to become a decent, probably.
And then we're gonna
end up with this horrendous head coach because everybody, for some crazy reason, loves him.
Yeah, I don't think everybody loves him. I think he's on the hot seat to be fired. And your point well taken. I'm not even going to argue with you on some. Like, there's no doubt the first round picks have been a disaster for Joe Shane. I don't think Thibodeau. I don't think Thibodeau is an out and out bust. I mean, third round pick is a bit much, but he has not played up to the level of a sixth overall pick, 100%. Evan Neal, absolute bust. Banks has been at times a good player, but has really, you know, obviously lack of hustle, lack of integrity. You know, that no joke. I agree with you. Rough. His first round picks have not been good. Totally agree. And Brian Daboll has his issues, no doubt. And the defense has their issues, no doubt. The whole roster has its issues. It's not about blaming Daniel Jones. I don't think anyone, at least, and I'm not. I am not saying the Giants are 2-8 because Daniel Jones sucks. That is not the reason that they've lost every one of these games. In fact, I've come on at the end of games and said that Daniel Jones is not the reason for this loss. I hope that makes you happy. But he's also not the reason for any of their winning. And you said, oh, he could be a decent. I'm not looking for decent. I'm paying him $40 million a year. He's got to be decent. Like, Daniel Jones stinks. Watch the game. You're making excuses for him. And some of them are valid excuses. Or at least valid points. I don't know if they're valid excuses. They're valid points. But watch him play the game and tell me he's good. Watch him miss that throw to Neighbors. You want to talk about blaming other people for things. You want to blame Brian Daboll for him throwing it 10 feet over Neighbors' head with a clean pocket and a wide-open wide receiver? You want to blame Brian Daboll for him not being able to get the ball out of his hands on a flea flicker when he's wide, when he has two different wide receivers wide open? You want to talk about it's only on Brian Daboll that over the course of his career, like, he can't throw touchdown passes at home? And can't score points? Like, it's. I agree with you. Not every problem that ails the New York Giants is at the feet of Daniel Jones. And I've said that. But that doesn't change the fact that if another quarterback was here, they wouldn't be losing this many games. You would be able to overcome Chuba Hubbard running for 130 yards. They win that game with a competent quarterback. They do. You could talk about, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? All might be true. I can't replace the whole team. They win that game with competent quarterback play. They win it. Along with many others. So you can make all the points you want. Daniel Jones stinks. That's a fact. And I'm not declaring he needs to be benched because the Giants need to win games and he can't win them. I'm declaring he needs to be benched because the experiment of Daniel Jones is over. He's not a franchise quarterback, and he won't be for the New York Giants. And if he plays, he could get hurt and trigger his contract for next year, and that would be a disaster for this team, whether Brian Daboll's the coach or anybody else.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help from mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 133. So I just saw something I didn't know about. Apparently, I saw that Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre had released an alcoholic drink, gin and juice, for the anniversary of, you know, the 30th anniversary, 30 years ago. I remember when gin and juice came out. I'm getting old. I'm getting to that point when things were 30 years ago and I remember it. And I can speak like the older people who always spoke to me when I was young. When did that happen? But I didn't know they were coming out in a new album. But apparently they're coming out with a new album. It's going to be released in December. And it's a sequel to Doggy Style. And they're calling it Missionary, which is a tremendous... That is a tremendous name for the album. 30 years ago it was Doggy Style. Now it's Missionary. Ain't that the truth? 888-808-1019. That cracked me up. I'm looking forward to it, though. Love Dr. Dre, and that's my childhood. Popcorn Rob in Babylon. What's up, Popcorn Rob?
Hey, man. Hey, Chris, thanks first and foremost for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Okay, and what I want to say, man, is I constantly have a discussion about this thing about, like, always wanting to fire the manager. Because the thing is that the manager, I'm pretty sure, go with, you know, with the front office, and he pretty much gives them the idea of what his approach will be for the game. Okay, and then he filters it down to his players. Now, when the players go out there, you know, these guys got to start doing their job and focusing on the job that they have to do. Because, like, if the receiver is not, you know, crossing his routes and not being ran right, or he's not breaking off on his off the routes and trying to get, you know, open and stuff like that, then it falls on Daniel. It falls on the quarterback, and it shouldn't fall on him, because sometimes the pressure of your blocker is he's not doing his job, and so it makes him look bad, and so now he's got to hold the flag and he's got to be the one taking the blame for a lot of this stuff, man, because it's not just Daniels, it's not just him, and then again with the manager, like you know, he's out there and he's filtering it down to these players, and some of these guys are not doing their jobs, man, and it's sad that people got to lose their job, and this guy, we got to pressure this guy, you know, because I understand that the fans pay a lot of money, you know, to go over there and see, but they pay to give the enjoyment. They don't pay, you know, with the results being, okay, we're going to win. You know, sometimes, you know, you're paying for the entertainment, not for the win.
Right.
You know, because no, you're not going to win all the game.
No,
But I know what you're saying about being competitive and stuff like that and going out there and put effort to, you know, what your job is as opposed to just going out there. You know what I'm saying? We got to give them some slack, man. And you know, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, you got it, Rob. Yeah, I don't. Your point, your overall point was a little lost on me, to be totally honest with you. Now, if you're saying that, you know, it's not just on the manager and the players got to play. Yeah, of course. I'm much more of the. I blame the players a lot more than I'll blame the manager. I mean, there are certain things where you look at it. I think the Jets are poorly coached right now. I think that has a lot to do with it, but it's on the players. I mean, no matter how much coaching was, however poor the coaching is, you know, Sauce Gardner's got to make that tackle. Plain and simple. I don't care what. He's a great player. He wants to be a great player. He's, you know, great players make that tackle. Plain and simple. There's no coach that could change that. He's got to be that guy who makes that tackle. It's on the players a lot more than it is the coach. But when it comes specifically to Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll, which I think was your point, yeah, you know, it's not all on Jones, absolutely. And the Giants have put players in different positions to win, and right now the players aren't very good. But Brian Daboll has his fair share of blame to go around. Don't get me wrong. Brian Daboll's made a bunch of mistakes. He's not had a good year. He hasn't had a good 2 years. And the quarterback has completely regressed. He had his first year with Daniel Jones, got the best out of him, and then he's regressed. And he looks like a shell of himself right now. That's poor coaching too. It all comes down to coaching. It all comes down to the players. When you lose, when you're ineffective, that's it. Now, as far as like the paying for entertainment, not wins, I guess I get that, but it's ultimately about, like, now at 2-8, there is no more entertainment for me. I don't care. Without a chance of winning, I don't care about the entertainment. I don't watch the Giants specifically just because I hope they entertain me. I have other ways to be entertained. It is about competition. It is about winning. It's about watching my team perform well. So that's part of it. But I can't just say, hey, who cares about any of this as long as I'm entertained? Like that, they do have to win. They have to play well. Watching good football is entertaining. Like, again, last night a little bit, I was driving in during some of the Monday Night Football game, but like the other night, Thursday night, Baltimore and Cincinnati, or you know, even the Sunday night game with the Texans and the Lions, the Giants and Jets are playing a different sport right now. There are entertaining games in the NFL. The Bengals might have a lost season here. It might not work out for them. Their defense is kind of holding them back, and they're not a very good team at the moment, but they're entertaining, and Joe Burrow is entertaining. The Giants aren't entertaining. The Giants don't score points. It's not like the Giants and Jets right now are playing a different brand of football. It's hideous. It's hideous. Look away. Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris, how you doing today?
Thanks for my call.
Look, you want to make 2 points in the Jets? I'm a Giants fan, but I'm disgusted with them right now, so let's talk about Jets.
Sure,
and the Jets,
not?
I think we all agree. The Jets, Tom, they're the worst coached team in football, no question about it. That's not the problem, number one. Also, I think the problem is, too, when firing the head coach did no good, took Jeff Ulbrich on defense, and I think part of the problem is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy, I mean, he has not been good here. I mean, I think the trade, they're wasting talent, and he throws a Devontae Adams 16 times. Stop throwing your guy who you love, all right? Because you know what? You have no chemistry. It sucks. They're awful on offense. That you're at the 3-yard line. You should just give away Breece Hall right now because you don't know how to use him properly. This team. Let's throw it to the 3 yard. Let's pass it to Devontae Adams 2 straight plays. His defense is awful.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, they should clear house and get rid of everybody. You know why? Because nothing's working. All right. The Jets. They thought they could bring in this Aaron Rodgers, change everything. It didn't change anything. You know why? You're coaching. You're fundamental. It's not. A quarterback, no one's ever a quarterback away unless you're, listen, don't say it, take the wrong, he's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, he deserves some of the blame because you know why?
No, he deserves a lot of the blame. He runs
the franchise, and that's why, good luck trying to find a coach, I mean, who wants to be there and let Aaron Rodgers be a leader. Because you know why? He's not a leader. Every move he made has been done nothing. It's set them backwards, the Jets.
Yeah.
Like, who is the common ground to trade for Devontae Adams? think that's going to be a solid receiver. Your defense is awful. You got steamrolled yesterday.
Yeah, but that's not – you had me on a lot of it, but, like, you can't solve every problem with, you know, like –
No, I know.
Just because Devontae Adams helped the situation. All right, was it their biggest flaw? Maybe not, but it helped an offense that was struggling or thought it could. I mean, he's still in the prime of his career, on the back end of his prime.
But I think going forward, as soon as the season ends, if he's back here, fine. But I think if the coach could be like, listen, I'm in charge. I'm the structure of the team.
Yeah.
It's not even the coach. It's the general manager and owner. And I don't know where they're going to get that because
I don't know who wants the job.
There's a lot of head coaching jobs, maybe the first one. But I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers can't be running the owner of this team because it's a joke. The Jets are one of the worst franchises in North American sports.
Oh no!
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they are.
The Giants are just as bad too, but Jets is like, it's just truth now. Like they can't do anything right.
And no,
you saw this fix. They were better with Zach Wilson.
You're right, and I can't understand it. And they had bad coaching with Zach Wilson, so it's not just that. Like it's hard to explain what's happened this year. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't know if there's been another team more puzzling to me in my fandom history of watching sports. Like, honestly, I don't know if I've ever been more completely perplexed by a team that, at least in this city, because otherwise I didn't pay that much attention to them. But, I mean, I'm sure throughout the history of the sports over the last 30 years of me paying attention, there's been a team that I could probably, you know, figure out that was supposed to be better or supposed to be worse and was great. Like, just a completely perplexing group. Like, just as far as New York sports, I can't think of another team that I am completely baffled with week in and week out. Now, a lot of it is just Aaron Rodgers isn't nearly as good as we thought he was going to be. Like, that's part of it. That's the main reason probably why they're this bad. But you're right, it goes deeper than that. It's the coaching, it's the ownership, it's everything about this team. They are poorly coached. Are they the worst coached team in the NFL? It's hard to argue. I mean, I thought the Saints were right up there. But, yeah, let's just call them the worst coached team in the NFL. I think that's fair. But even that shouldn't lead them to 3 wins. Like, you can have a bad head coach with a great team and still win some games. I don't think Mike McCarthy suddenly became a bad coach this year. They were better previous years and won a lot of games. Like, you can be a bad head coach and still get victories with an elite team. And I really thought the Jets had an elite-level talent. I thought the Jets were one of the more talented teams in the AFC. I really did. And I still do in many ways. I mean, look at that. Just look at the offense, right? They have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. They have Breece Hall at running back. And they have Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson as their 2 wide receivers. Name me another team that has that quality. Like, that's really good. And 2 out of those 3 are young and super talented, and the other 2 are older but have a connection that goes down in the history of the NFL as one of the better wide receiver quarterback connections. Like, how is it this bad? All right, not as good as we thought. Okay. Not a team that can contend for the AFC Championship. Okay. 3-7 and getting worse? And no showing after winning a game on a Thursday night? That is, it's perplexing.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Yeah! The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so McMonagle here with you. For another few minutes, I got you tomorrow at 7 p.m. filling in for Keith. We'll do a little bit of baseball as we start with this, continue with the hot stove. And I want to talk about this kid, Durbin, for the Yankees, who killed it in the Arizona Fall League, led the league in stolen bases. Everybody's projecting him to be the next starting second baseman as the telltale sign of the Instagram, clearing, scraping. What's the word I'm looking for? When they clear everything of Instagram. But if you look at it, Gleyber Torres apparently has wiped all New York Yankee stuff from his Instagram. Gleyber Torres is no longer a Yankee, and he won't be a Yankee. And Durbin has a legitimate chance to be the starting second baseman. You heard
Aaron Boone call him a stud. Aaron Boone also said he expects Jason Dominguez to be a big part of the team next year. So they're going to go young in some spots if they're going to pay Juan Soto. And I also saw a story where it said an unnamed Yankee executive said if it's about money, he'll be a Yankee. We'll find out. We will find out. I'm looking forward. This is one of this the dynamic between the Yankee Met contingents chasing Juan Soto is going to be very, very interesting. And I know this sounds weird. I guess it doesn't because I'm a Yankee fan. I wouldn't want him in the division. I would be disappointed if he doesn't go, if he goes somewhere besides the Yankees or the Mets. Like, if he goes to Toronto, I'll be disappointed. If he goes to the Dodgers, I'll be disappointed. If he goes to the Cubs, I'll be like, that sucks. Like, I either want him here, or I want him across town and having that rivalry. I do. And I'm not one who cares. I don't want to see the Mets win a bunch of championships, I suppose, but if they do, they do. I don't hate the Mets. I still stick with this. I hate some Met fans. There are some, you know, idiot Met fans who constantly attack me and stuff. I don't know why. I've been more than fair to you. But I would be disappointed if he goes somewhere else. If he goes to Toronto, who the hell? I know the Yankees have to play him 13 times now, and that I don't think he'll win there. I'm not even worried about it. I don't think the Blue Jays will suddenly be great. I really don't. But I want it to be a Met or Yankee. I want that battle. I want it to come down to those two teams. I want to hear sign with the Yankees and the Mets were, you know, same number, but he chose the Yankees. Or sign with the Mets, they offered, the Yankees fell $50 million short. Like, I want that storyline. So, I mean, I don't want to hear that because I'll be pissed with the Yankees, but better than $50 million short of Toronto. Lou in Asbury Park. What's up, Lou?
T-Mac, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? How are you?
Good, man. Listen, I hear all this all day long, mm-hmm. as much as you do, because I constantly listen about Daniel Jones or Dable and the GM and this, that, and the other thing. Personally, I think all three of them got to get on a bus and get out of town. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
All right. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the Chargers this year.
Yep.
And the Chargers had the fifth pick overall, and they were what, 5-12 last year?
Yeah.
Picked right before the Giants. They have more wins this season than they had all of last year.
Yep.
That is a direct reflection of the head coach and the GM speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. I get it that they have Justin Herbert, okay? But the guy's averaging 200 yards a game.
Yeah, he hasn't been killing. Their defense has been playing.
It's their defense. Yeah. It's their offensive line. It's their game plan. It's them building the team around the head coach's philosophy and their strength. And that's something that the Giants are nowhere in the realm of reality right now.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though, and to be, I don't disagree with a word you just said, but here's the one thing I'll say. The coach's identity and, you know, strength is the quarterback play. Like, that's
is
what,
it, though?
That's what this, yeah, that's what this coach's strength is, yeah. It is.
Well, here, let me ask you
whether or not
then.
It's a good enough strength, I don't know, but I don't think he has a legitimate guy to fulfill that strength.
Okay, well then, where does the timetable fall to where we say, you know what, maybe he didn't really develop Josh Allen. Maybe Josh Allen was just a freak who runs like a deer, yeah, and has a missile of an arm. I mean, when does that timetable fall? Does it fall like year three of the rookie quarterback?
Well, why would it fall at all? Why would that suddenly change? Because he couldn't get Daniel Jones to be the freak? Because he couldn't get Daniel Jones to do it? Like, but that's the only thing that happened. Like, why would...
I'm talking about the next quarterback.
I understand that. Well, then, no, that he has to develop the next one. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, right now, if the thought process is, which I think many people are, not that, you know, he didn't create Josh Allen. Not that he and he alone is responsible for Josh Allen's greatness. Josh Allen has to be great. You have to actually have the ability, no doubt. But
sure.
I think there is a perceiving, first of all, Josh Allen will be the first one to tell you this, that Brian Daboll had an immense role in getting, and the other thing is, he wasn't C.J. Stroud. He wasn't Daniels. He wasn't one of these quarterbacks who instantly looked like they had it. He struggled mightily year one.
Then he got slightly better year two. Then he got then he took that next step year three. Like, there was a clear cut. We all watched the development process with Josh Allen. It wasn't like, wow, here he is, Josh Allen, and we should have all seen it coming. He's phenomenal. And led the team immediately. Like, there was a progression with him. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes. He took the field. He was great. Josh Daniels took the field. He was great. C.J. Stroud took the field. He was great. He wasn't one of those. It took 3 years to get him there. So that's why people will turn to Brian Daboll, and he does, that there was a maturation process with Josh Allen, and that's why he gets credit for it. I don't think anything takes that away, and certainly not him not being able to do it with Daniel Jones. Like, if they get another young quarterback and he fails with him, and thank you for the call, Lou. I want to make sure I get Mike here. If he gets a young quarterback and fails with him, I mean, he'll take a hit. I don't know if he ever loses he helped Josh Allen. Like, I think that's something he's earned. And that probably sticks with him whatever happens. Now, it's not a guarantee. It doesn't get him the next job anymore. That's really the thing. I don't think it'll ever get to a point where they say, you know what? He had nothing to do with Josh Allen. His failures elsewhere prove it. So Josh Allen was just going to be great no matter who his coach was, and Brian Daboll had nothing to do with it. It was all a lie that we were all fooled on. I don't think that'll be the narrative. The narrative will be, for whatever reason, it worked with Josh Allen, but that no longer is he. It hasn't worked with every other quarterback he's worked with since, and it no longer is a guarantee for him to be successful. And you don't, teams can't look at it and just say, oh, I know Brian Daboll will be good. It worked with Josh Allen. Like, his failures will start to outweigh his successes, but I don't think he loses his successes. He'll always be the guy who helped develop Josh Allen. And I'm sorry, Mike, I apologize. Hang in for Big Zoo. He's coming up next. I don't think Brian Daboll will ever lose that, but he will gain failures. And it'll get to a point where the failures outweigh the successes. And right now, as a Giant head coach, his failures have outweighed his successes. That's it for me. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. I'll be back with you in mere hours, 7 p.m., taking you from 7 to midnight later today. Taking your calls then. Thank you, Fliegelman. Thank you, the great Paulie Rosenberg. And everybody hanging for Big Zoo. He's next. He'll take you to the warm-up show at 5. Again, I'll catch you tomorrow at 7 p.m. Everybody have a good rest of your day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.